Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Everybody,
hello,
hello.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Me too.
And of course, hello to everybody out there on Delmarva, and of course, Live City Radio. Hello, hello, hello. And we got a full room today, so it's just kind of nice. I see my partner Forrest.
Hello.
I see Cameron.
Good morning.
There she is. And I'm Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we're streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you are new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun. We talk about our past week experience and enlighten your day through laughter.
That's right. Yes, we do. You know, all the things that you know, we experience in everyday life. The silly things, the embarrassing things, the awkward things. Even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but damn it, we still do.
You know, the things that connect us all. The things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
Damn right it is. And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on yourweeklydose.com.
Or send a message through Twitter or Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
And say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or email yourweeklydose1 at gmail.com.
Absolutely. And we got a pretty cool show for you guys today. We got trending, of course, with Kamala. We're going to be talking about kazoos and how to have fun at work and things that people have or used to have, but we don't have anymore. And we're going to do our pocket-sized cinema that we didn't get to do it last week, so we're going to do it today for you guys, too.
Hey, you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, check us out on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. And please tell your friends to rate and review the show.
That's right. And of course, to help us stay on the air, today's theme song was You Really Got Me by Van Halen, which was released today back in 1978.
Wow. 78?
I was actually 7 years old because it's January, so today. Okay. I hadn't turned eight yet.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
And so, that was a Kinks song, I believe.
Yeah.
I love the Kinks. I love Van Halen.
Yeah. And so you got their version, which is their first single off their first record.
Really?
Which is kind of ironic because it was also a cover song.
Yeah.
You know, being their first single.
Yeah.
So you're going,
Yeah, I don't know about these guys, but then they made a few good ones themselves.
Yeah, they did, which was really cool.
It went over well.
Went over very well. So that was today's theme song for that reason. And and don't forget, guys, any music that we play on our show, you can always purchase it at our main sponsor, which is Amazon. Just go to our website, and basically you look for the Amazon banner that's there, and you click on it. Just like that. And then you buy the... That's enough, thanks. And then you buy the music that you want, you know, and you tell Amazon...
Shut up and take my money!
Exactly. And then they take it, and then after that you hear a... And then you can download it and play to all the Van Halen stuff that's your heart's delight. So don't just buy that song, buy all the songs because, you know, it's all good music and people don't make music like that anymore. Which is sad.
It is.
Yeah, I like the nod first, and they go, "Oh yeah, we're on the radio."
Yeah, I was agreeing with you, verbally and
physically.
Visually, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Alrighty. So that's what you guys want to do. So just make sure that you support our show. Click on the Amazon banner and bookmark it and shop to your heart's delight. Because we buy everything through Amazon here. Matter of fact, I just got this new little Bluetooth speaker.
Oh. Hmm. On Amazon.
On Amazon, yeah.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
So because I found out that my an iPad that I had to get repaired. Mm-hmm. Finally found these people that did the repair. Great people. Really, really good people. And hopefully they're going to be one of our sponsors. And so he told me, and he goes, "Hey, there was a little bit of water damage inside the iPad." And I went, "Oh, I would take the iPad with me in my shower." And leave it on the sink, you know, not in the shower with in the shower.
For what reason?
Were you
yeah,
terrible,
yeah, stuck it there on the towel wall.
It had a virus. Yeah. I had to clean it out a little bit.
And wash it up, yeah.
But like the steam.
The steam, yeah. And it got inside, so it damaged a little bit. So I said, okay, well, now that I have it fixed, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to buy a waterproof.
Oh, there you go.
Little speaker. Of course, I'm waving it because here, see, take a look.
Oh, I never.
There it is. There it is right through the microphone.
It's rectangle and blue and it's so pretty.
And it says Anchor and it's waterproof, so which is great. So I can now put it on like the, right above, you know, on the shower thing or whatever and hear my songs and
sing.
And
your iPad can stay in a
in
dry
the bedroom.
Place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And stay nice and dry and everything. So we got all of our stuff. We get it all through Amazon.
That's nice.
It's simple. It's easy. And we got this new little cord here or whatever to connect our
iPad, Amazon.
You know, where we do our different sound effects and everything. You know, like when Steve was here, we would do this one an awful lot.
Turn off your fucking phone.
And, you know, to make sure Steve turned off his phone. So, love you, Steve. But anyway, so, you know, so the little cable for that now, I got a little short one because the other one was a little bit too long and in the way and got that through Amazon too. I just been using Amazon up, so I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Should we catch up with each other?
Sure.
Let's do it.
All right. What's new? Nope, wrong one.
What's new, Pussycat?
There we go. Fat Mexican fingers, people. That's what I got.
What's new works too. Works a little bit on its own level.
All right. Well, let's start with you today, partner. What's up with you? What's your week like?
My week was pretty good. I worked a little bit, but I got caught up in a lot of these Oscar-nominated films that Paul Preston would tell us about. So I was binge-watching a lot this week.
Really?
And I mean, there's some good stuff out there.
Yeah.
There is. I saw The Whale. Brendan Fraser is very good in it.
Dude, I have heard nothing but good things about The Whale.
Yeah.
And I was so happy for him that he got the Critics' Choice Award for Best Actor.
Yeah.
And he broke down.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, for him, I've always liked Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, good-looking guy.
Very charismatic guy. You know, funny guy, yeah.
Funny guy. Uh-huh. I thought any role that he's done very well for himself. And all of a sudden, he disappeared, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it was, because I'm thinking, geez, you know, he could jump from the Mummy stuff to other action or whatever, you know. Because I always considered him to be very versatile.
Yeah.
Dude, watch The Whale.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a play, which I didn't realize. So it's all set in like one location.
Yeah.
But the performances are really good so that you don't really worry about that or care. You know, like there's just a lot of good scenes, a lot of good acting. So that was very good. But the one that Paul really recommended that I loved was Tar. Tar with Cate Blanchett was just unbelievable.
I watched that one.
Really?
You did? What'd you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I think I feel it might be more for music fans, like that type of music fans, because they were like name dropping
heavy
and doing
into
a lot
it,
of that. And so sometimes for me personally, I was like, who, what? And then I'd like pause the movie and like Google them to like know who they were talking about. But I mean, she did a wonderful job portraying that character.
She's so good.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies, you're right, where like you have to focus and watch it. I put on subtitles and I'm like, feel like I was doing a report on it. You know, it's really heavy. With dialogue and information.
It is. It's very heavy with information.
Is it kind of like an Aaron Sorkin script, you know, where he has a lot of dialogue kind of a thing like that?
Kind of bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fast dialogue. Oh, yeah.
I love those kind of things.
It was like the dialogue was fast, but the movie was slow. And so it was like, what is this, like, the speed here? And so I feel like it kind of made you feel like how she was feeling, just like in her natural body of like the OCD and those types of things of like everything's moving fast, but
that's a
also
good point.
The world is moving slow. Yeah. And so I felt that.
Yeah. I mean, it's over 2.5. It seems like everything's 2.5 hours nowadays, like minimum. Because we watched Avatar, and I think we had to watch it like in three sittings.
Really?
Like, all right, let's. That's a good place to pause it. Now let's all stretch.
Okay, since you've seen Avatar, comparison from that to the original, how different? Because I know Cameron had an awful lot of themes.
He did.
In the first one.
Yeah. For me, it's one of the rare ones where I liked the sequel better than the original. With the first one, I was like, okay. Like, I wasn't that big into it. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then we were talking about how, like, it doesn't have, like, a lot of... I don't know. The second one visually is just incredible. And
well, I figured that was really a major part of it. Because, I mean, here you are creating this whole new world, you know, literally in CGI and everything. Yeah. So, you know, but how is the storyline hold up?
Yeah, I think for some it didn't. And for me, the visuals ties it all together. So it held up and it moved really well. It's not like mind-blowing plot. You know, it's a lot of plot sort of things we've seen before. Mm-hmm. Mm. But it just is held together so well visually that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going with it. Like, I went with it. So I liked it.
All right. So binge watching Oscar week.
Yeah, that was my week.
That's nice, though, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's kind of cool. It's fun to do that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Kevin, how about you, darling? How was your week?
It was good. After the show last week, my best friend came out from L.A.
Oh, that's right. You guys
Riverside
went binge drinking, huh?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was super fun. We went to a bar in downtown Riverside, and I ordered a glass of champagne, not a mimosa, a glass of champagne, because
there's no orange juice allowed.
I have
in
no
her
room.
Champagne.
I have no time. Champagne only, please.
Yeah.
But that was a really good day. We hung out for a little bit. We had lunch, and then my wife met up with us so that they could spend some time together. But we really wanted like bestie time, and then my wife joined so that we could all spend some time together. And then she went home, and I slept for 12 hours because I am not the wake up early and day drinking kind of girl I used to be, I guess. But it was glorious.
12 hours.
I will tell you. So Sunday, I was like, a new day.
Recharged.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had a good time, though. That's great.
Yeah, it was a wonderful time. And then I binge watched a couple of Oscar films, too, nominations. Mm. So I did Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is like my current favorite film. Mm-hmm. It is amazingly weird.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And then we watched Elvis last night, which I hadn't seen yet.
Oh, what did you think of that?
I had the chills for, I don't know how long. It was over 2 hours, right?
Right.
So I had the chills for about 2 hours. Like, just like the whole entire movie. I thought it was amazing. It was beautiful, and he did a wonderful job playing him, and it was
cool.
Yeah.
The only problem I had, and they did it at the very, very end, but I wish they would have done it slowly, though, because it was, I mean, Elvis looked great when he first started to do the Vegas stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then the last couple of years or whatever is when he really gained the weight.
Right.
So they only had one scene of him being heavy.
Right.
Because all the other scenes, he was still thin. I'm like, that wasn't Elvis during that time period.
Yeah, which actually, I think you mentioned before. And so while I was watching it last night, I knew that we were closer to the end. And I was like, okay, like, it's not going to happen. You're not going to see that Elvis, you know, kind of thing. Because I was remembering what you said. And there was a point when they were in the car, Priscilla and him were in the car. And he had just passed off the daughter, you know, to her. And they talked for a little bit. And right before they started speaking, though, the voiceover that was happening was saying that his waistband was expanding, and so they verbally talked about it,
right?
But he was still really thin.
I haven't seen it, but do you think they're setting up, like, you could do a sequel about the later part of his life, or no, is that not a possibility?
No, because he's dead.
No.
Well, I've heard that. I guess I meant a second movie to kind of, you know.
They ended it on him portraying Elvis at his last concert and then went into footage from the actual filming,
which was very cool.
And that was very cool.
Yeah, because
right when they showed him portraying him, I thought
it was really him,
the real one. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, wow, he really does look like him. And then they went into the real one. I was like, oh, just kidding. But yeah, it was.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the last shot where he's playing the piano and like the guy's holding the microphone for him. That what was the actor's what's
Austin
his name?
Butler?
Austin Butler.
Yeah, thank you.
Where he has the prosthetic makeup on to look heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go into the real Elvis of that last performance.
Yeah.
So and it makes and it, they did it beautifully, but it's like I would have liked to see him slowly gain the weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, go okay, in this shot we're going to add so much.
Right.
Now in this shot we're going to add so much.
Sure.
Now in
more
this shot
more of like transitional periods.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I would have liked to seen that.
Sure.
You know, versus the skinny Elvis from 68 all the way through, mm-hmm. you know, to 77.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my only complaint, I think, with that. You know, but I mean, you could compare, like, did this really happen or did that really happen? You got to remember, anytime anybody does any type of rockumentary, there's going to be some things to help the story along.
Sure. Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, it's like, was Elvis a fan of Captain Marvel Jr.? Yes, he was. But did he ever wear the, you know, lightning bolt around him as a kid? Probably not. But he did have that little curly cue in his hair that was exactly like Captain Marvel Jr. And then, of course, later on, when he would give out the medallion of taking care of business, it did have the lightning bolt on there. You know, so there's other things you got to look into and not take everything literal.
Because
it is a movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
You know.
Don't forget.
Right. Right. Some people do, and they start ranting about it. But, yeah, it's Hollywood.
Yeah, and that's just
absolutely.
It. I mean, I think the perfect example of that is I remember years ago when people were protesting on the movie The Last Temptation of Christ.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And people were picketing the movie.
Yeah.
You know, saying, this movie is not real.
Mm.
Robin Williams goes, psst, come here, Sparky. No movie's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
You know.
You're right.
Yeah. So you're exactly. So. But, well, I'm glad you enjoyed Elvis, though, because I mean, I did, too. I did, too.
It was, I mean, obviously the music. I couldn't. Suspicious Minds is still in my head. I was like, because of all the songs that played during the movie, that's just been the one that's been replaying and replaying. I woke up.
Like I've got to send you this Mark Thompson, who we idolize here basically on the show of Mark and Brian. He did a thing called Cool Stories in Music.
Oh, okay.
And I need to send it to you. You can actually go up on archives.com and find it and type in Cool Stories of Music and listen to, I think there's, 22 or 23 episodes of it. It was a podcast that he did. And it's kind of like a Casey Kasem kind of a thing where he kind of gives you a little bit of background of either a song or a group or whatever, or a record and how it was made and gives you all the information behind it.
Mm.
Well, ironically, all of my favorite Elvis stuff is from 68 till he died.
Okay.
So like you, Suspicious Minds. Yeah. Love that song.
That was something I learned last night. I didn't know that. And so I was like, wow, it wasn't until 68 that
you
came out with those songs.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you're talking about Suspicious Minds, Kentucky Rain, In the Ghetto, Memories, three of those that were written by Mac Davis. You know, so you got all these songs. And the thing is, all of those songs that I love are on his last studio record, which was recorded in Memphis, which is where he kind of ended his career to a degree, you know. Excuse me. And apologize, guys. And so he, and to me, that is where I think Elvis finally got away from being the puppet that he was with the Colonel.
Absolutely.
And started putting his foot down and started saying, this is how I'm going to do things. This is the direction I want to go. And he started to listen to other people saying, Elvis, we think you should go in this direction. And because he said, I can't sing another song that I don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So if I believe in the song, I'm going to sing it. You know, and that changed his career. And he was critically acclaimed on that last record. So, which was great. But there was so much controversy, too, of how everything went down.
That must have been satisfying for him, even at the end, just to have that.
I think so, too. Yeah. I mean, to start his career in Memphis with Sun Records, and then to have his last studio album be in Memphis, you know, recorded in Memphis, you know, as opposed to the other places and Capitol Records where they did all the silly movie soundtrack stuff and everything, you know. Yeah, it was a big change for him.
Yeah.
Which was really good. And he wanted to, you know, he knew music was changing.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be a part of that. And he knew that he needed something different, a new sound, a new whatever, to stay relevant in any way, shape, or form.
For sure.
So, you know, and he finally stopped listening to the Colonel and started listening to these other people going, hey, dude, if you really want to stay, you know, with the times.
Right.
Here's some songs we think you should sing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, and which is really cool. So, and then there's another version of that record, which is called Elvis. Is it no, Elvis from Memphis, I think is the name of the album. But there's a deluxe version where it has all of the recordings, so including the ones that they did not put on the original release.
Ooh.
So you can get all of those.
Very
so,
cool.
Yeah, like one of them is he even covers Glenn Campbell's. Gentle on My Mind.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
I think I know what song you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, holy cow, you know, and for Elvis to cover that.
Is that the song where, like, we'll sleep together, but then I'll take off for a few weeks, and then you'll let me back in?
Well, here, let me find it real quick, and I'll pull it up.
I feel like a lot of the 70s, the songs in the 70s were about, like, just one-night stands and just hooking up, and I'll see
that
you around.
That sounds about right.
I know a lot of
them. I'll see you around, yeah.
Feel that way.
Yeah, let's see.
We can...
Hopefully.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk.
Yep.
That's the one.
Door is always open.
That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch.
Yep, this is the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah. Vows aren't really a thing.
That keeps you in the back row.
Ink, it'll be smeared with water. We're good.
Yeah.
Shiver gentle on my mind.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a great song.
No, it is. It is.
You know, and of course, you know, we've lost, you know, Glenn too recently, you know, because of it. But you know, Elvis even tried to go ahead and cover that song. So I think there was 32 songs that he recorded total from the Elvis from Memphis.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And like I said, if you find the deluxe version
on
then
Amazon,
you get. You know, you get the
it's knowing that your door
this version
is always open and your path is free to walk.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
That makes me tend to keep my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch.
Oh. Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's knowing I'm not.
I never heard this cover before.
I was going to say this version sounds more familiar to me than the other one.
Okay.
That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. That keeps you rivered gentle on my mind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
not clinging to the rocks and ivy.
It's a totally different.
You
got that keyboard in the background.
Yeah, I was gonna say a little funky kind of in the back, a little country. It's a nice blend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just knowing that the world will not be cursed or forgiven when I walk along some railroad track and fell. That you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory. And for hours you just gentle on my mind.
And to me, this is when Elvis was his best. I mean, this surpasses Hound Dog, you know, I mean, all the early stuff, basically. You know,
yeah.
I mean, yes, I mean, he was there at the beginning. He helped create, bring the black music over, you know. And I appreciate them for that. But it just didn't turn me on as much as this stuff does.
I feel like people are that way with the Beatles, too. Like, the later stuff was a little more substance, a little more evolved. And, like, like people prefer that over the I Want to Hold Your Hand or, you know, the kind of teeny bopper stuff.
See, I love it all. See, yeah. where I get into the Beatles more is on the fact of where they start doing their own stuff. Because, again, their first couple of albums, it was covers.
Covers, a lot of covers, yeah.
Because that's all they did.
Yeah.
You know, so finally when you get to meet the Beatles, now you get I Want to Hold Your Hand and, you know, all those early classics. Yeah. But what's nice, though, is that you really see, I mean, and think about this, man. That band was only together for 7 years.
Yeah.
7 years.
They just churned out stuff.
Wow.
They just churned it out.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And if you realize all the stuff they did, you listen from one album to the next, how much they grew from one album to the next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then to finally end everything with, not Rubber Soul. What came after Rubber Soul?
Was it Let It Be? Was it?
No. Shoot, I'm trying to think. I can't think of the album, but they end, well, let's say they end with Rubber Soul, but then they go away and they come out with Sgt. Pepper.
Oh yeah.
The following year.
Uh-huh.
And you're going, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
Well, you may have told that story where they were sort of not competing, but trying to keep up with the Beach Boys. Like Pet Sounds came out. And then Sgt. Pepper was like a kind of like a response to that.
Yeah.
Is that the story?
Yeah, because, I mean, they both respected each other a great deal.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, there's a story where back in the USSR, I think Brian was visiting England or whatever, and they were showing them a couple of songs that they were working. And they were trying to figure out a way to talk about all of the different girls in the USSR.
Right.
And so Brian says, well, why don't you do it like a California girls and talk about this? Well, the Ukraine girls really knocked
me out.
And he goes, do it like a California girls kind of thing. Uh-huh. So if you realize in the middle of that song, it goes to a Beach Boys.
It sounds like a Beach Boys song. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you even hear John, you know, sing low.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, the Ukraine girls really knock me out.
Yeah.
Aretha West behind. You know.
And in the background, you hear the.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did that with each other and bounced things off. But when I can't remember which album came out first, though. But it's like when they listen to it, it's like, holy crap, this is what we got to do. We've got. And that's why those two albums, sonically, songwriting wise, and everything. You know, and you have to realize, people, this was done on 4 tracks. You know, we've got computers now that it's endless tracks, 128 tracks or whatever, you know. 4 tracks, both of those albums were recorded on.
Wow.
Wow.
Which means that you've got to record on tracks 1, 2, and 3, bounce them to 4. And then erase 1, 2, and 3, record on 1 and 2, and bounce it down to 3.
Like for more layers?
Okay. To get all the layers and everything, you know. So by the time you get to the end with a big orchestra and everything, I mean, you got all of that was on 4 tracks.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and it's still, that album still holds up today. Same thing with Pet Sounds. It still holds up.
Yeah.
And like, even when I do my recordings, I always look at it this way. If they did both of those albums on 4 tracks, then I should be able to have a decent album sounding just as good or better on no more than 16 or 24. If I can't do it, then it's my fault as either an engineer or as a producer or whatever. It needs to sound that good.
Wow. That's amazing that they were able to do like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it blows you. I mean, because you got to think about the technology of the time.
Yeah.
You know.
That was all they had.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know. And so, you know, so to hear the different way that things have changed over the years, whatever, I mean, it's absolutely amazing on what has changed.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to what we were talking about with Elvis, though, that's why I love the latter part of him. Because mm-hmm. to me, that's where he really got to be an artist.
Right. His own artist.
His own artistry. Yeah. Was that with that last album?
Yep.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, all of it, and all of it is so good. And, you know, like we played last week, we played In the Ghetto, which was a combination between him and his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, even just the two of them together, you just go, oh my gosh.
It's just a beautiful sound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, exactly. I don't think we heard about your week.
My week was boring. I didn't do a whole lot. The only thing I could really talk about is we mentioned that, you know, I've got my brand new double neck guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it into a luthier to see what we can do with it. And he was actually quite surprised on how good the construction was on the guitar. He goes, yeah, I can see why they did a shortcut here, a shortcut there or whatever. Because the body is a little bit narrower than my other double neck, which I was hoping it was going to be as wide or close to it. Mm-hmm. But, of course, there's nothing you can do. The necks are a little bit closer together. It is a pain in the ass to try and change the strings, which I've already done, actually. So he suggested we're going to do everything in steps right now to get it to where I want it to be.
Okay.
So he said, why don't you go ahead and put the strings that you're used to playing on and string it with those. So I've done that. And he goes, and let it settle in. Because he could tell that the thing was like brand freaking new.
Mm-hmm.
And so the wood needs to settle and vibrate a lot more. He goes, play it as much of it as you can.
You like breaking in shoes?
Kind of? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Huh. And so that way it vibrates and it does what it needs to do or whatever. And so, and then he goes, in about four or five months, come back. And he goes, we'll then shave the neck first. So the neck can feel a little bit better. My hand can feel a little bit better around the neck.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that first. And then we're doing research right now on changing the pickup because we're trying to figure it out to where, because he's not electronically inclined. So he's more of building the wood and everything. So from a true luthier. We're going to try to figure out instead of, because this guitar has two outputs where I think that they're trying to cheat it a little bit. So where my Ovation double neck only has one output.
Okay.
So we're going to try and study how did they get those two pickups to combine in the preamp. Is there two inputs? Because, you know, or yeah, just how did Ovation do it?
Okay.
And then try to duplicate that in my new one. And so we're going to change out the pickups for sure. And then the last thing we'll do is a true setup on it. So and make sure that you lower the string so the action is where I want it to be so it plays the way I want it to play and everything.
Okay.
And then do all the stuff on the frets and make sure everything's nice and the way it should be, basically.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's going to cost me a little bit of a penny, but to me it's willing to do because that's probably going to be one of the last guitars I'm ever going to buy.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's one more that I want because there's always one more.
Never say never.
There's always one more. I want a Carbonita, but... if I can get the, there's this one guy right now who's selling the double neck Ovation, the Richie Sambora version.
Mm-hmm.
And if he would lower his damn price, I buy it.
Mm.
Because everybody bought the damn thing for $1,500. And when it came around for me to say, yeah, I want to buy it.
Yeah.
It was sold out. I couldn't get it anywhere.
Limited edition.
Limited edition or whatever. And I said, I should have just bought it with a credit card back then. I should have. I really should have. And I was waiting. But, of course, I was out of a job at the time. But I said, I should have just bought it, put it on the credit card, and slowly paid it off.
Well, you never know when the time is right. One might cross your path.
Well, and that's what I'm hoping for. Because I saw one on eBay. It sold, I kid you not, $355.
Ooh. You just saw it too late?
Yeah, like a year ago.
Oh.
It sold, because I looked at what others have sold for.
Mm-hmm.
And one sold for $300. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. Brand freaking new.
Yikes.
$300.
Oh, no.
You know, and when dealers were selling it for $1,500,
yeah.
This sold used for $355.
Wow.
And now this moron, because he's got the price, I say moron because he's just got the price way too high, he's doubled the price. So it's like $3,300.
Oh,
I'm like,
gosh.
I'll pay two.
Yeah.
I'll even pay like maybe 25. But at least I'll definitely give you two for it right now. You know, you're going to make $500 more off of it.
Right.
You know, and to me, to double it, that's to me, that's just greedy. You know, it really is. Yeah. Because, but here's the scary thing that I found out recently, too, in doing my research this week. That's what I've done this week is research.
Hey.
Is that because Ovation now has, it seems like they've gone under, everything that Ovation, all of the Ovation guitars have gone up in price now.
Oh.
So even my double neck,
yeah,
if you purchased it a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, used, anywhere between $700 to $1,000 used. Because it sold new for about $1,200. So that price range kind of makes sense depending on the condition it's in. Three people have theirs up right now. The highest is $4,000 they're asking for it right now.
Oh my gosh.
The lowest is the same price as the Sambora, $3,200 or $3,300.
Is that a limited edition as well?
Well, now that they've stopped, now that Ovation has gone under and the company doesn't exist anymore.
They're not making
Now it has because they're not making them anymore.
Yeah, okay.
But that was the typical, anybody could get that for $1,200, basically.
Wow, $4,000.
But now an idiot is trying to sell it for $4,000. I'm like, good luck, dude.
Yeah.
Good luck if you can sell it because they've gone under. So to me, they're being greedy.
Taking advantage of the situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my opinion on it. But good for me because now I got a $4,000 guitar.
Hey.
Wow.
You know.
That's right.
So, but I'm saying, well, can I swap that one out for the Sambora? You know, this one's worth more. You know, kind of a thing. Yep. So, but so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, so it's going to be a long trip, you know, with the new guitar and everything. Okay. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, keep us updated here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm trying to play with it as much as possible, too. And I've got some other things in the works, too, that actually I need to sit down with you, partner, and talk about.
Okay.
So because I got inspired recently.
Okay.
So it's more like a,
Okay.
But
for sure.
But I need your comedy expertise in it, so.
Well, I'll try and bring it. It's $4,000 for my comedy.
Even rented, I don't care.
I've doubled my price.
Damn. I can give you a guitar.
We'll talk.
He's going to play guitar. So, but anyway, so we'll see what happens. But I'll need your expertise on a couple things.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, should we do what's trending then?
Let's do it.
All right.
What is trending?
What's trending? Let's find out.
I love that song.
You love that theme, don't you?
I bounce like every time. I'm like, it's so Disney. It sounds so Disney. I love it. All right. Let's see. The post-apocalyptic drama series The Last of Us premiered this year on Sunday, January 15th. And after only 2 episodes, has been renewed for a second season.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with it, it's a video game.
Yep.
Yeah. And so everyone, I read an article and it said everyone who played the video game knows what's happening in season 2. And everyone's just like super excited to see it play out on television.
Nice.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was a video game.
I didn't either. Yeah. Until I read that article. I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay. So a lot of people are like familiar with this too. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My son and his friends are really into it.
Young
people. Okay. Too, it's real popular.
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. So you can watch the first 2 episodes on HBO Max, and new episodes premiere on HBO every Sunday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Nice.
Yes. Let's see. Next. Just months after Jay Leno suffered burns from a car fire, he was in a motorcycle accident this week.
Dumbass.
Oh, my gosh.
What a dumbass.
Where he was taken to the hospital due to multiple broken bones. He said, I got knocked off my motorcycle, so I've got a broken collarbone, I've got 2 broken ribs, and I've got 2 cracked kneecaps.
Oh, my God.
Oh, 2 cracked kneecaps?
That's all you have. You only get 2.
Oh, my God. So first he's trying to be Richard Pryor. Now he's trying to be Gary Busey. What the hell, dude?
Poor guy.
That ain't good.
Yeah.
I saw that on the news and I was like, wait, are they just like repeating what? Wait, no, these are different.
Does he have like grandkids that can intervene and kind of drive him around? I mean, I know he wants to be independent, but at that age, like, come on.
He's got enough cars.
Get a chauffeur.
Drive a car.
You know, call an Uber. Oh my gosh. Be careful, dude.
So dangerous.
Be careful.
All right.
Let's see. And the 95th Academy Awards will be on March 12th of this year at 5 p.m. And it will take place at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles, hosted
and party,
by...
And party will be here, baby.
Hey, that's right.
Oscar party.
Let's see. And it'll be in Los Angeles, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, good. Jimmy's going to be doing it again.
Yes,
nice.
Again this year. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was just going to run down the best motion picture nominees real quick.
Do it.
Real quick, though?
Yeah, go for
favorite,
it.
Favorite Oscar host?
Oh, mine would be Steve Martin.
Really?
Yeah, I just love Steve Martin.
Okay.
Although there's been some other good ones, but Steve Martin for me.
Steve Martin? What about for you?
Oh, man, that is so tough. I really liked when Ellen DeGeneres did it.
Uh-huh.
So, like... Maybe her. I don't know. I think I have a couple, but I'll go with her.
Hands down for me?
Yeah.
Billy Crystal.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Yep.
Billy Crystal, hands down. Kimmel has done a great job, though.
Yeah, he has.
He really does. And that's what I like about him is he's consistent with what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of Crystal. So, mm-hmm. But
yeah.
To me, it's Crystal first, Kimmel next, and then probably Bob Hope after that.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
So, of course, my favorite line with Bob Hope, because, well, here we are again. The Oscars, otherwise known as Passover at my house.
Bob Hope.
That's so funny.
So who's nominated?
Yes, let's do it. For Best Motion Picture, we have Top Gun Maverick.
Wait a minute. You know what? Let's give you a little bit of music here.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
And there's 10, right?
Is there are 10.
Or up to 10, I think, they have the choice of doing.
So,
okay.
Yeah. It's usually dun, about dun, that many. Best Motion Picture nominees, Top Gun Maverick, Women Talking, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, The Banshees of Inisherin, Triangle of Sadness, The Fablemans, All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All Quiet on the Western Front, yep. Wow.
Avatar, The Way of Water, Elvis, and Tar. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So we're trying to knock. I would like to knock out all of them before the show, but we'll see.
Yeah, I've seen five of them.
They're so long.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's just it.
They're going to start now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what was the other one you said? Wait, you said...
Top Gun. Women Talking, Everything Everywhere, The Banshees of Inisherin, Triangle of Sadness.
Okay. I heard they're already working on a sequel for that one.
The Triangle of Sadness?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Square of Happiness.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just really flip that script.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the Rectangle of Mediocrity?
That'll be the third.
That's the third in a trilogy.
And yeah, they'll show them in geometry class.
There you go.
Wow.
Oh, hey, geometry screwed me up, so hey.
Oh, man, geometry was tough. But that's all I have for today.
Oh, well, okay then.
That's what's trending.
I love it. It sounds good. So, and that is what's trending with Kamlyn Jackson. All right. Well, last week we were kind of briefly talking about speaking of Top Gun, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And this fellow named Keith Dion, who does a wonderful impression of Gene Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about it and everything. So we didn't get a chance to play. We ran out of time last week. So I wanted to play it for you guys this week. And Keith has actually been on our show, too. So he's a friend of the program.
How fun.
Great guy. I don't know where this picks up at or anything. So I'll try and set it up. And if it sets up again, I apologize. But basically, when they would have celebrities come in the room, Mark and Brian, they would always say, well, they're also friends with Gene Wilder. And, of course, Keith Dion, stand-up comedian and actor, does a beautiful impression of Gene Wilder. So they would call Keith pretending to be Gene Wilder, and half the celebrities would say, oh, wow, that's really Gene Wilder. Wow, okay, you know, and they were really surprised.
All for it.
And then as it went on, word got around town with the celebrities and saying, no, it's not really him. So this is one of the first ones and where Tom Cruise was coming in and promoting Interview with a Vampire. And as Mark Thompson tells the story, that most of the celebrities, when they would come in with an entourage type of a thing, you know, their booking agent, their manager, this manager, the publicist and this and that. And sometimes they come in with 16 people. But when Tom came in, his sister was a fan of Mark and Brian.
Mm-hmm.
So it said, and told Tom that he should come on the show. So when he did, it was only him and his sister.
How nice.
Which kind of shows you what kind of person Tom is at that point.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they decided to talk about Gene Wilder and so forth, and they called him. So go ahead. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say
No. I'm just like I'm anticipating it.
Oh, look at
that. He's excited.
Play the damn thing, Sean. I want to hear it. So here we go.
We have Gene Wilder, the actor, on the phone. Gene.
Good morning, Mark and Brian.
Hi, Gene.
Hootie-hoo.
Hootie-hoo.
Good morning, Mr. Cruz.
Gene.
How are you?
How are you?
It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Oh, my God. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
As you know,
really
I'm
Gene
based...
Gene Wilder.
He's already suspicious.
Hey, Gene, listen. Yeah. Do you want to know something? I remember as a kid going, how old? I must have been 7 years old or eight, but Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh, definitely.
God, you were just incredible in that.
Thanks very much. Yes, Willy Wonka.
Yeah, fantastic.
Gene, why don't you give us...
So many characters you've played. I'm a great fan of yours.
Well, and I yours. Thanks very much.
Gene, just out of hope that maybe you could recite a quick scene from... Young Frankenstein, something quick.
Okay, or for Tom, should I do Willy Wonka?
Whatever you like.
Do Willy Wonka, that'd be great.
Okay. Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes, the danger must be growing, for the roars keep on rolling, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing.
Yeah, all right, Gene.
All right.
All right, that's when you're on the boat going through that tunnel there. Oh,
good
my
job,
God,
Gene.
The producers, Young Frankenstein, I mean, just great. Mm. Classics.
Good stuff.
So much fun.
Did you have a question for Tom?
Yes, I was wondering, as you know, I'm basically known for my comedy films. And even though they do have serious moments, and I've often thought I'd love to do a dramatic film. And I was wondering... You're basically known for your dramatic films and your action films. Would you ever consider doing an all-out comedy film?
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. You know, I think the great thing for me in watching you is, you know, that I learned from is the reality that you bring to the comedy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, for me, that's what was really funny. You know, it just, you know, you made those characters so real.
Right.
That, I mean, it was, you know, Young Frankenstein, which I think is
Yeah, he's really thinking he's talking to Gene Wilder.
Oh, yeah.
You get put in the door. Uh-huh. Don't open this door. Do that one.
That's a great one.
I love that.
Okay. All right, Gene, do that one.
I think I've had just enough coffee to get through it.
All right.
Okay. Love is the only thing that can save this poor creature. And I am going to convince him that he is loved, even at the cost of my own life, no matter what you hear in there, no matter how cruelly I beg you, no matter how terribly I may scream, do not open this door or you will undo everything I've worked for. Do you understand? Do not open this door. Let me out of here. Get me the hell out of here. What's the matter with you people? I was joking. Don't you know a joke when you hear one? Jesus Christ, get me out of here. Open this goddamn door. Kick your rotten heads in. Mommy!
Yeah, Gene.
Better.
Oh, Gene.
Never better.
Oh, as always, Gene.
You know... It's the emotional investment in that. I mean, God, it's just so hard to do. I would love that. If I could find something as wonderful, as the films you made, that'd be a lot of fun.
Well, that would be great. That would be interesting to watch.
Hey, Gene.
Uh huh.
Tell Tom who you really are.
Oh goodness, should I?
Yes. Yeah, we love you,
Mr. Cruz. It's a pleasure to meet you. My name is Keith Dion, and I'm a...
You guys are toast.
No, he's...
you guys are toast. That's it.
You know, I'm a struggling actor, and I feel so guilty because...
Well, don't. You want to know something? That is a fantastic...
Absolutely.
...impersonation.
It is.
I'm telling you, it was... I was listening to it. It was fantastic.
We didn't know... He sounds so great. We didn't know how far I was going to go. Yeah. And then you were saying the most wonderful things about Gene... True things about Gene Wilder.
That's it. That's
so we didn't want you leaving here.
You
we didn't want
speak.
You leaving here without
No.
Spell. He feels bad.
That's so funny.
I am a huge fan of yours. The intensity you bring to your character.
Good job, Keith.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, listener Keith, everybody.
All right. All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Keith. Right. There was no way we were going to let you out of here without letting you know, because you'd hear about it and go,
no,
I'll sue.
Drive away, and they go, that Keith is a real moron.
No.
Let's call in. And
everybody that we have had on the program that we put Keith on the air with, he has never failed to suck every person
in. Oh, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's Gene Wilder.
That is, you are Gene Wilder.
Keith, thank you, man.
Thanks, Keith.
Now, let's go to the phones. Let's see who's on the phone.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How cool is that, though?
You wouldn't normally ask a celebrity to recite lines like a trained monkey, you know. That would be kind of rude, you know. So it's funny that Gene Wilder's doing this and Tom Cruise is believing it, because you wouldn't go to Tom Cruise and say, "Hey, do a Top Gun line for me," you know.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
He would be like, "Get out of here."
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, can you do the slide for me from Risky Business?
Yeah. 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 Take your pants off. Take your pants off.
Here, wear my shirt.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's do this real quick, and I'm going to switch gears. Did my mic go out or something?
I don't know.
Yeah,
a little bit, maybe.
Hello?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. I think I'm still here.
No, I don't hear
you. No, I don't hear you.
How weird.
I hear you in person.
You hear me in person, but not on the...
Yeah, mm-hmm. nothing switched over here.
Okay. That's really weird. Interesting.
No. We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Yeah. All right. I want to switch microphones in.
Sure.
Have you seen, Kamlin, these deep fake videos of Tom Cruise that somebody does?
No.
It's a guy.
Or maybe.
It looks a lot. They're getting scary, the deep fakes, but it looks like Tom Cruise. And he's doing like TikTok videos, which you kind of go, why is Tom Cruise doing this thing? He's got like a baby crocodile in his hand, and he's talking about it.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Well, there you are.
And then he's getting a haircut. Like, he's at the barbershop getting a haircut. And it looks like 95% Tom Cruise, and it sounds like him.
Uh-huh.
But it just doesn't feel right, because you're like, why is he doing these TikTok
weird
videos?
Things.
Yeah. And it just looks off enough where you go, this can't be real, and it's somebody, you know, deep faking him.
Wow, no, but I'll look that up.
But so now he's on the other side of it. Yeah. They're pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
We can look it up.
Definitely.
Well, you know what I want to try and do, though, is I've got Keith's phone number. Is give Keith a call.
Oh yeah.
And see. So let's see if we can let me get some dialing music going on here. So let me give Keith a call.
You were fourth in our waiting list.
Yeah.
Your call is very important to
us.
Yes,
that's it.
Let's see if he answers.
We'll see. But who will answer? Keith or G?
Yeah.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Right. That's not Gene.
8.
Yeah, I don't want to put his phone number out there.
I was like,
2.
No.
Not yet.
Not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Keith, it's Sean Roberts, buddy, from Your Weekly Dose. We were just talking about you and Tom Cruise and everything last week, and this week we played it. So just want to try and catch up and give you a quick call, buddy. Give us a call back if you get a chance, okay? Talk to you soon, my friend. Take care. All right. So, okay.
Very cool. That was,
Yeah
we'll
great.
See.
That's
he's
awesome.
We'll see. But, he's phenomenal. He really is. And he's like you, too, partner. He's a a working actor going out there trying to do different things and stuff like that.
Well,
so
it's a great impression.
Yeah, he's done a couple of commercials and stuff and, everything. He hasn't played a caveman yet, though.
No. Well, one day.
Yeah, one day. One day.
Maybe he'll be cool enough one day to play a caveman.
Exactly. So, anyways, well, let's kind of move on here, guys. We were, I think today is National Kazoo Day?
It is.
Yeah.
That's the one instrument I've been able to play in my life.
Hey,
really?
Yeah. You're so talented.
I know. I used to carry one around in high school, and so I'm well versed with the kazoo. But there's facts that we have on it that I've not learned that I'm learning today about. You guys want to hear some kazoo facts?
I would love to hear some kazoo facts.
Me as well.
Let's see if we can kind of get some kazoo music going on.
Sure. Oh, there's the kazoo kid. That's always a...
Really? There's actually a thing called the kazoo kid?
Oh, yeah. It was like a viral video at some point.
Oh. Is that what I wanted, though?
That sounded like Mel Brooks.
It is Mel Brooks. Yeah, they tried to do Mel Brooks.
Oh.
How funny.
Here we go. Believe it or not, this is going to be kazoo music.
Is this a Michael Jackson cover?
Yeah.
It is.
With the kazoo.
Oh.
All right, partner, what you got?
Well, for those that don't know, a kazoo is a small apparatus that can produce music by a person humming, singing, or speaking into the mouthpiece. You may have seen them, little plastic, a few inches long. The shape of a kazoo is often compared to that of a submarine. It features holes at both ends with another in what is generally a raised cylinder on the top. Kazoos, as you can hear, distort the sound entered by the user due to the vibration of the membrane that's located at the bottom of the hole in the top of the instrument, and this is caused by the changing air pressure made by the sound. Fun fact, it's thought that the earliest form of kazoo was used by, any guesses what continent? What continent the kazoo came from?
I'm probably going to say maybe somewhere, oh, you said continent.
Yeah, what continent do we think the kazoo?
How about Australia?
Oh,
Europe.
Yeah, because you got the didgeridoo.
True.
So, kazoo, didgeridoo, smaller version. It's easier to put in the pocket.
It rhymes.
Used by traditional African tribes to manipulate one's voice, made of a cow's horn and spider egg casings.
Ew!
Blow into a spider egg.
Oh my goodness.
There's a museum dedicated to the kazoo.
What?
Located here in the U.S. in South Carolina.
Oh.
Why?
So funny. That's so weird.
Right? So why? Check out. Go to Beaufort,
that's cool,
South
though.
Carolina.
Yeah.
And the name kazoo is believed to have been given to it in 1883 by inventor Warren Frost, and the word is possibly an onomatopoeia. You guys, what's an onomatopoeia? A word that imitates a sound. So does that sound like kazoo to you?
Okay. Okay. Sure.
Kazoo.
Kazoo. It's the zoo part. Kazoo.
You can have the plastic ones that are the cheap ones that I would get, but you can get a quality kazoo made of metal. Some are made of plastic or wood. They've been used as musical instruments and also as toys. I remember when The Cure did a Unplugged on MTV, they used kazoos in one of their songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And kazoos were first used in professional music in 1921 by the original Dixieland jazz band in the song Crazy Blues.
Really?
Did not know that.
Okay.
So celebrate National Kazoo Day today.
Yes. Play yourself a kazoo.
Well, all right then. Whatever. I don't know.
Oh, they're
good. That was
good. Oh, man.
Break it down.
That was really good. Holy cow.
And this was made on only 4 tracks, Sean. Can you hear all that's going on here?
This is an awful lot. I can tell. Absolutely.
Can you picture the band just like rocking out right now?
Oh, for sure.
They throw them down and smash them. Afterwards, they smash them on the ground.
They're harmonizing everything.
Yeah.
They're getting it.
All you need is the drummer, a bassist, and a bunch of people playing kazoo.
That's right.
That's all you need.
He's got 4.
You know what? That's something that we should try to do.
A kazoo band?
Well, not necessarily a kazoo band, but let's say, because we tried something a while ago where it was... That's so cool. Where it was... Try to sing like Young Frankenstein. Yeah, because when they do like Putting on the Ritz, you know, this, you go, Putting on the Ritz. And try to sing a song like that.
Oh, okay.
And we would try and guess the song.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think maybe what we should do is get some kazoos.
Name that tune?
And name that tune, not Young Frankenstein, but name that tune with a kazoo.
We can do that.
Name that tune with a kazoo. I like it.
You know,
we can do that.
And then we got to try and guess.
Yeah.
That's super fun. We should do that.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right. We need a producer to go out and buy us some kazoos.
Please.
Yes.
On Amazon.
I was going to say, I'll order them on Amazon.
I'm letting my assistant know right now.
All right.
We'll get make that happen.
I know you had a sister.
Assistant.
Oh, assistant. Yeah, oh, okay.
My sister.
Got it. Well, there you go. So next week, who knows what could happen? And we could have, you know, different kazoo songs going on and everything.
Right. We could extend this kazoo day.
I like it. I like
kazoo
it.
Kazoo week.
Kazoo week. There you go.
Deserves an entire week.
There you go. Exactly.
Does it?
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, you know what? It's also National Fun at Work Day. Well, how in the hell do you have fun at work?
By not working.
That's one way.
That is one way.
Okay, real quick, round robin. Best job you've ever had, or most enjoyable job you ever had?
I worked at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company in Anaheim for almost 10 years.
Ooh, really?
I worked
the one on Coachella?
Uh huh.
Get out of here!
Yeah,
really?
my whole 20s. Huh? I was there. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. And so I would say I worked a lot of different positions there. Uh-huh. Host, server, I was a trainer, I was a manager by the end. And I think just like overall, I just enjoyed the entire experience working there. It was just so fun. It was just like the point of it was to have a good time. Like, why not? You're working at a restaurant that was made from a movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? You know?
Yeah.
So I would say that.
That cool. All right, partner, how about you?
Probably my first job, which was working usher at like a second-rate movie theater. Because when you're like 16 working and all the money is just on whatever you want to blow it on or gas. And then I was just, you know, sweeping up popcorn, watching movies, hanging out. It was sort of like hanging out at the movies.
That's cool.
And, you know, not a lot of responsibility or worries. So just like pure fun at that point.
I can see that.
Yeah, it was fun.
For me, I would say two jobs. And they're both working for an amusement park.
Oh, okay.
Both Disney, loved it. Especially when I did...
What did you do there?
At Disney?
Yeah.
I started off over in the Carousel... I wanted to say Carousel Progress. Interventions.
Oh, okay.
Which is the round building, which started off as the Carousel of Progress.
Right.
Then it was shut down in 75... They stopped it there to celebrate the bicentennial of the United States. So they brought in something called America Sings, which I love. And all it did was go through the history of America's music.
Okay.
Which was cool. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And that ran for, I think, about 10 years or so. Then they just gutted the thing. They stopped it. It was dormant for a number of years. It turned into offices. And then they decided to bring it back, and they called it Innoventions.
Mm-hmm.
So you would go in. It was supposed to just kind of show off new things in technology that were coming out. But it was supposed to be things of the future, not of, hey, you can go buy this at Kmart right now or at Target right now, you know. But, like, we were one of the first ones. I don't know if you remember the Segway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the, you know, those two-wheel things.
Yep.
We were the ones that debuted the Segway.
Oh, cool.
And said, this is going to revolutionize the way people transport themselves. No.
Beach cops will be riding these.
Exactly.
Paul Blart,
Mall cops.
Exactly. Guards. Exactly. But we all got to ride it and try it out or whatever. So it turned into that. Now it's, they got rid of that. And now it's the thing for Star Wars right now, where they have all the displays and stuff, whatever. So it's that building there. So I started off at Innoventions, was there for just under a year, and then I auditioned for Disney's Playhouse Live on Stage, which dealt with puppets. And so we got to work in conjunction with Jim Henson Productions, which was great because we did Bear in the Big Blue House.
Oh.
And so I had to learn the show and everything. And it was funny because when I did my audition, I learned to do puppetry left-handed. I had to switch to my right.
Oh.
And that was hard.
I bet that was tough.
And then I was able to do both, so with no problem. But
can I touch on Bear in the Big Blue House?
Yeah.
I saw a TikTok and it was a woman, and she said that she puts Bear in the Big Blue House on for her dogs when they're home alone or when she is busy and needs them to be calm, and it works for them.
It soothes them.
You guys.
Wow.
I play Bear in the Big Blue House while I'm working from home, and my dogs are super chill.
Really?
And they're usually like, hey, what are you doing? Can you play with me? Da da da. I don't know why, but that bear.
I'm gonna try.
And then
that.
Now we're my wife and I are walking around singing the songs and stuff. We're like, oh my gosh.
Well, I can't remember the actor's name who plays Bear, but I know his first name is Noel. The way his voice is, hey guys,
it's so soothing.
It's very calm and very soothing, you know. And each character is supposed to represent a different demographic, you know. So, and then by the time you get to Luna, hi Bear.
Oh my gosh.
You know, that's goodbye, the MILF right there.
Goodbye.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love the song. Yeah.
So good.
Okay. You know what?
Pulling it up. Pulling it up. We're all going to get really chill right now, I guess, huh?
So good. It's seriously, it's, and we've been doing it for like 2 months, I think. Or like a month and a half or so. And it's just like, they're not tired of it. We haven't finished the show. Like, we'll just start it over.
They don't care if it's a rerun?
They don't. No. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. It's so good.
It really is.
It really is.
Let's see, so let me pull this up.
Been up here lighting up the sky.
Luna, do you have time to sing a goodbye song before you go?
Always Bear.
Hey, this was really fun.
We hope you liked it too.
Seems like we've just begun when suddenly we're through. Goodbye, goodbye, good friends, goodbye. Cause now it's time to go. But hey, I say, well, that's okay.
Cause we'll see you very soon, I know.
Very soon, I know.
That one, that goodbye, gets me every time.
Goodbye, good friends, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And tomorrow, just my today. The moon, the bear, and the big blue house will be waiting for you to come and play. Come and play, come and play. Bye now.
Bye.
Wow.
You've never seen that, brother?
Been up here, riding up the.
I think they moved on to a different show by the time my sons were watching that kind of stuff. So it was there was different shows.
This was so good
because this was what,
so many early 2000s
or.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, right around there because Roman was born 2004 and it was kind of coming down from it a little bit, but still very popular.
I remember it, but I just, it was past or before their time.
So. You know what? It debuted in 97.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Okay.
Yeah, because like I said, by the time Roman was born, I mean, I had already been working at Disney by 2002. So 2003 is when we.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When we debuted it.
Yeah, it looks it's calming me right now.
I'm chill.
I kind of want to take a nap a little bit.
I need some coffee.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's kind of talking about even having fun at work. You know. There you go. Yeah. So
coffee will help. Coffee
segue.
Will help.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah. So what do we've got here? How in the hell do you have fun at work?
Well, I can tell you. I'll tell you
please.
Right now. Yeah.
Tell me.
You know what you could do is you could.
No. What?
You could form an office sports team.
I see people do that, like a softball league or something
by
like
the,
that.
At Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, we had one. I am not your sports girl, but I was their number one cheerleader. You can ask anybody.
Okay.
So.
The water girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was liquor, but
the
beer.
The
beer girl. That's right,
Beer league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could create a relaxation or gaming area. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool,
Allow workplace decoration.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Holidays, decorate the office. Yeah. They did
like,
that at
like
the school that
stuff.
I work at.
Holidays. And
the owner always decorates for Christmas and Halloween and
it's the like
big
leaving
holiday.
Up your tree and decorating it for all the different holidays.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Oh, my sister does that.
You could form an employee band.
Oh, we want to do that at the school.
Get some little passion project going.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Even at Yamaha, we're talking about, like, hey, so-and-so, you know.
Just, like, jam together?
Yeah, because one of the guys was asking, he goes, hey, Sean, you play drums, right? They went, yeah. And he was asking me, well, what do I do if it's squeaky or this, that? I'm like, oh, just WD-40. And I go, and here I thought you were going to ask me to play.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like, too, right now. Yeah. thing. Let's see. Have hangouts after business hours.
Sure.
Yeah.
Happy,
that's cool.
Happy hours.
Happy hour. Happy hour. Sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Organize a talent show.
Oh,
that would be fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That would probably be for like a holiday type party or something like that. You could put something on.
Yeah.
Or just like a random time throughout the year, I guess. You could hold karaoke contests.
Oh, ooh, we should do that.
You could like rent one of those rooms.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do that. That's fun.
Yeah, we should do that here.
We could do
karaoke.
Yeah.
See how we do.
Yeah.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, guy, I'd have to think about that one.
Really?
Yeah.
No karaoke?
No, I don't have a. No, maybe once every.
Mine would be probably Hot Child in the City, Nick Gilder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That and In the Ghetto. I always do an Elvis tune.
Oh, do an Elvis one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do an Elvis tune first, and then do Hot Child. And
Camlin, you do Broadway?
Probably Broadway or like a Disney song.
Oklahoma with a wind coming out into the rain.
I can't remember what the name of it is, but there was a like a Macklemore song that I used to do, like the rap tune.
Where he goes to the thrift store?
I like big butts.
It's not that one. It was nope. If I think of it, I'll tell you.
All right, sounds good.
I can't
remember.
Let's see. You could celebrate birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays at work.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
That's always fun. I think like offices and stuff, people kind of like decorate other cubicles and things for birthdays and whatnot. You could hold potlucks.
Oh, yeah.
Which I work from home, but my work, like if you do work in the office, this whole entire last week, they had a food truck every morning at 9 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Just like for fun.
Nice.
Yeah. So they like cool. I got an email every day at 9 o'clock that there's a food truck, and I was like, "That's cool."
Can it drive here?
Yeah. Can
Here's my address. Tell him to make his next stop.
It sounds like it has wheels. Can it come to me?
Yeah.
You could host a welcome party for new staff.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
So
we kind of do that at Yamaha. Like when somebody comes on board or whatever, we all jump online because we all work from home like you.
Sure.
And same thing.
Do a little hello.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? I do this. I do that. Whatever. And what do you do? And
introductions. You know. Yeah. That's always nice. Kind of makes you feel more comfortable.
It does. It does. Yeah.
And then just to name off some of the benefits of having a fun workplace, that would be you'd have healthier employees.
Mm. Very true.
You know, the mental healthier probably.
Yeah.
Better communication and teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Just like welcoming the new staff, just kind of bringing them in and talking, teamwork. More creativity, more productivity, and greater advocacy.
Wow.
So
That's all good things, though.
Yeah. All positive things. It's good things.
And you definitely want to enjoy your job. You know, no matter what.
Yeah.
So that's
because jobs can be tedious and they can be, you know, you can be working alone a lot or, you know, sometimes you're working with other people, but depending on how you work best.
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to, you know, just little times where you guys can get together or do fun things.
Yeah. I've been fortunate that I've had most of my jobs have not been that stressful.
Oh, that's good.
You know, like I said, working at two amusement parks. So Disney one, Knott's the other. That was my first one. You know, at 19 years old, I mean, I got to be a puppeteer there. I got to be a train bandit, a stuntman there, and got to do other things, too, that I would not have had the opportunities if I did anything else.
Yeah.
And it was a great training ground at 19 years old. So I loved every moment of it, you know, and learned quite a bit from there also. So, I mean, God, I just... If I could go back again, and I mean, think about it. I get to play a cowboy and shoot her and go with other guys, you know, that are in their, at that time, you know, we're in their mid, late 20s.
Yeah.
You know, also
fun.
Being 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know,
playing cops and robbers.
Yeah. Playing cowboys and Indians.
and
getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how fun is that?
That's very fun.
You know, and that's just it. You know, that's a career.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. That's not even a job anymore. That's a very, very fun career.
Yep.
So
that's what I've got for you.
Very cool.
Having fun very at work. Cool.
Well, I got something for you guys too. And I think my partner and I can probably relate to these things a little bit more than you, Cameron, because you're a little bit younger than us, though.
Thank you.
So I'm going to try and pull something up here.
Anytime you mention it.
A lot younger.
I'll thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're a lot younger. Boy, you're so young, you know.
I'm the youngest.
Yeah. Well,
in the room.
In the room, even. Exactly. So I got to find this real quick. Here we go. So a lot of these things are visual, so we're going to try and explain most of them to you, though. But I think... then these are literally things everyone used to have in their home probably about 30 years ago that we can guarantee they're in no one's home right now at all.
Okay? Yeah. Yep.
First one, a big giant TV that weighed about 300 pounds.
I had one of those. Wood console.
Yep.
Had a record player on one end and like a place to hold the records on the other end and then mm-hmm. the TV in the middle. I could never move that thing if I wanted to. You know, it was
yeah.
There was
just no freaking way.
Yeah.
I know we had a TV that looked like that with the knobs and everything. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with the TV with the knobs, but I don't think it was encased in the...
In the wood.
I don't remember that specifically, but...
All right. So here we go. So the other ones that we've got here, a room in the house that has the wall paneling.
The wood paneling?
The wood paneling in there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have one?
Oh, yeah.
We had one.
Yeah.
It was actually the wall that would go from our living room, and the opposite was our so-called den or third bedroom.
I think even our vehicles had it, like
really?
In the door and like inside the camper that we would camp in. Like,
but the actual wood,
like the wood
itself?
Panel, like wood, the wood paneling.
Not the sticker stuff.
No, but it was yeah. I mean, I didn't go into it and find out, but like, yeah, as a kid.
Yeah, we had that.
Yeah.
The house that we live in now was built in 1950, and there was an add-on in 1960. Something uh-huh. And there's it's the whole entire upstairs is wood paneling.
Yep. So you could relate
to
this then.
And upstairs. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Popular.
Yep. Okay. All right. How about a jar full of candy completely stuck together that no one had an idea how old it was, and when you did try to pick it up, the whole thing came out.
Yeah, like old person candy, like the ribbon candy.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can taste that. It's just color.
Why would you want to taste it? Oh my god.
From the one time I like you know. Had one that I broke off from it, the rest of it, you know, yeah. Like break it off.
Let's see. What's another one here? Okay. One of these chairs that always seemed to get stickier the hotter it got outside. This is one of those, like, outside lounge chairs that folds in threes.
Uh-huh.
Whatever.
And you'd, like, pinch your leg in or your foot in there.
Or you know. Pinch something. That's for damn sure. And good Lord, don't roll over, man.
Yep.
Because something's going to get stuck.
Yeah. Yeah, those were like torture devices. They look like those lawn chairs.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Okay, now this was kind of hard to describe, but I gotta admit, we had this type of flooring. It's a linoleum floor, but where it looks like it's brick, small little bricks or whatever, basically of different shapes and sizes or whatever of that whole thing, and. In between, though, it looks like it has, you know, the cement, you know, to glue it all together.
Yeah.
Okay. Not only did my parents have that floor when I was young, but my wife's grandmother had the same exact floor when I visited in Oregon for the very first time. I'm like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Wow. Really? Really?
Oh, that's funny.
Excuse me. So, okay, how about remember having a little book that you had to take to the bank with you?
Oh, when I opened my first account, they gave me a little book and then, you know, taught me how to, like, balance. Or my mom might have taught me how to balance. And then, yeah, you'd write in my deposit.
Or he printed it out for you and it was there and then gave you the balance. Like, how much you deposited.
Oh.
And it would print it out. But you had to give them the book.
Oh.
And they would put it in this little machine. And it would print it out.
Oh, that was way back. Okay. I barely remember that. I remember the little book, though. Okay.
I don't remember that.
No.
Well, yeah, we had those. All right. Everybody had one of these osterizer blenders or whatever. I think people still have them today.
That avocado green color.
Yeah. But the avocado green, that is a classic one there, baby. Yeah. All right. How about the greatest toy ever, the Moo Box?
Oh, it looks like a little salt or pepper shaker, and you would shake it.
Or you turn it upside down.
Yeah, you turn it upside down. Yeah,
I think we all had that at some point. Did you have that?
I didn't have one, but I do know what it is.
Okay. All right. That's it. All right. A list of phone numbers on a sheet of paper tucked away in some drawer.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody kind of had the emergency list.
Yeah, pinned on like a cabinet.
Or something. Or with the... A magnet, you know, on the fridge.
Sure.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Grandma's house, grandpa's house, you know, whatever.
Police.
Yeah. Because 911 didn't exist back then. let's see. There was another one, though. Okay. How about this alarm clock?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone in the world has one of those alarm clocks, little wood-paneled alarm clocks, GE.
GE one, whatever. It's very thin. Mine is still in our bedroom right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
It is still, I still have mine. Yep, there you go. That's the sound that it makes. Yep, exactly. Let's see. Let's pass that one. Okay. A big old ball of needles.
Oh, yeah. Pincushion.
Pincushion.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be like a tomato one.
Yeah.
Because that was what grandma liked. Yep.
Grandma. And I would just play with it. I'd just take them out and put them back in. Take it out. Put it back in.
And I don't know if this is on the list, but grandma would put her sewing supplies inside an old cookie tin.
Oh, yeah.
The empty cookie tin. Yeah.
People are making TikToks of those.
Are they?
They're opening the box and there's actual cookies and they're like, what the hell is going on?
I need to sew.
Yeah, exactly. They're looking for the sewing kit.
Every so grandma.
Funny. That's funny. That's funny. A few more here. Actually, a big fruit log in your freezer. In other words, the old-fashioned frozen concentrated orange juice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know what? There is a batch of cookies that my mom makes. They're pumpkin cookies. And the icing is orange flavored icing, and she still uses that.
Really?
For it. Uh-huh.
Do they still sell these in the stores, though?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They sure do.
Okay.
Yeah,
I haven't used that in years.
And some come with alcohol in them, and you can make like, you know, like mixers.
What?
Like you can, oh. Yeah.
Wait,
my voice you got like crazy.
Wow, I kind of like that though. But wait a minute though. I mean, we've got. This is breaking news.
Yeah, I've seen them like where they're daiquiris. Oh, sorry.
Breaking news from Forest Hartle.
That was it. No, like frozen daiquiris or, you know, like pina coladas or whatever that come in that kind of same can.
So they've just upgraded them.
Yeah. Oh. You just got to make sure your kid doesn't, you know, grab them when they need a treat.
Or unless make sure your kid does grab it when you go to the store because you want one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You just don't want them to eat it.
And not to bring it to you directly.
Yes. Right. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And then I'll just walk around, put a little straw in it and start sucking. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a slushy.
I was going to say it's all cold. Mm. Oh, on a hot day. Mm.
Put on Bear in the Big Blue House. Chilling.
Okay, have you ever had a blanket like this? It's one of those blankets where it's like crocheted, but it's like zigzag.
Oh, yeah, the zigzag. Oh, yes. Yeah.
The zigzag. Yeah, we had one of those, too.
Had one of those. I think my mom made it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. Here we go. Let's get through this. No.
What is that?
Oh, how about one of these old wooden bowls where you serve salad in?
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
A crisper or something.
I don't
know
why I have all of this information. Useless. But the restaurant Northwoods Inn off the 5 Freeway?
Oh, yeah.
They
serve their salads in those.
Yeah.
Do they really?
They do.
Oh, my God. Where they make it at your table. Like, yeah. They make a Caesar salad at your table. And
it's like it's like the green lettuce with like a blue cheese dressing and then the purple cabbage vinegar.
Yeah, yeah, they have that distinct salad.
And they serve them both in.
You can throw your peanut shells on the floor.
Way too funny.
Yeah. Oh man, that place is so good. Yeah. Ooh, and their whipped cheese butter. Ooh, could talk about it all day.
Wooden bowl.
Yeah, love it, love it, love it. Well, there you go. So just a few things, you know.
It'll never come
that
back.
Don't exist anymore. But they did 30 years ago.
That's right.
You know, like I had that table. Nestle Quick had to open up with a spoon.
Oh, Nestle Quick in the metal can.
Yeah, in the metal can.
Yeah, to pry off the lid.
Yeah. Yeah, all these different things. Film canister that made out of plastic.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Yeah, they don't exist anymore.
Oh. Like Gatorade in the glass bottle. Is that in there?
Or Corningware?
Oh, Corningware.
Gatorade in a glass bottle?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You right. Break them if you dropped it, they'd just break.
Oh, that's right, because it was a metal cap on it.
Yeah.
And it would go. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so it would.
Yeah,
do.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, and then
you guys both made this
before they went to plastic. Oh, yeah, it was satisfying when
cute.
You opened it up. And went,
yeah.
You knew it was open.
Well, kind of like the way, was it?
Snapple?
Yeah, the Snapples had glass.
Yeah, Snapple used to be glass, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
And then, of course, you could play that as a musical instrument. The yeah,
oh,
you
yeah.
Push the button on the cap, and it was like a kazoo.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, there you go. Walking down memory lane, things that don't exist anymore that we had 30 years ago. All righty, guys. Well, you know what? I think we didn't get a chance to do it last week, so let's do it right now and give these folks something, a little bit of some class.
Some
culture. Yeah, absolutely. Something that we like to call pocket-sized cinema. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Pocket Size Cinema. Today's feature is entitled The Big Bet. The Big Bet. We opened when a little lady went to a bank one day carrying a bag of money. She insisted that she must speak with the president of the bank to open a savings account because, after much hemming and hawing, the bank staff finally ushered her into the president's office. Let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy the big bet.
Good morning, madam. I understand that you wanted to speak to me.
Oh, yes. I have a very large deposit that I need to make today.
How much will you be depositing today into your account?
$165,000.
Madam, I'm surprised you're carrying so much cash around. Where did you get all this money?
I make bets.
Bets? What kind of bets?
Well, for example, I'll bet you $25,000 that your balls are square.
Well, that's a stupid bet. You can never win that kind of bet.
Ah, so would you like to take my bet?
Sure, I'll bet $25,000 that my balls are not square.
Okay, but since there's a lot of money involved, may I bring my lawyer with me tomorrow at 10 a.m. as a witness?
Sure.
That night, the president got very nervous about the bet and spent a long time in front of a mirror checking his balls.
They look round to me.
Turning from side to side again and again. He thoroughly checked them out until he was sure that there was absolutely no way his balls were square. And that he would win the bet. The next morning, at precisely at 10 a.m., the little old lady appeared with her lawyer at the president's office. She introduced the lawyer to the president and repeated the bet. $25,000 says the president's balls are square.
Yes, that's right. I made a bet with Miss Thompson yesterday.
Well, then, would you please drop your pants so we can all see?
Okay.
The president complied. A little old lady peered closely at his balls and then asked,
do you mind if I could feel them?
Well, okay. $25,000 is a lot of money, so I guess you should be absolutely sure.
Just then, he noticed that the lawyer was quietly banging his head against the wall. The president asked the little old lady,
what the hell's the matter with your lawyer?
Oh, nothing. Except I bet him $100,000 that at 10 a.m. today I'd have the bank president's balls in my hand.
Yeah, that's how we do it here. All right. Shall we play the game, guys?
Let's play the game.
Let's play the damn game. Where's the button of Quiz Me, Quiz You? There it is. And here we go. We're now playing the game that makes Diddy Lee Roth say, I used to sing well. Quiz me, quiz you. And here we are now talking to intern out there, Mr. Christopher. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Very good. Let's go ahead and start it off.
Hey, that's
what?
My line.
Oh, go ahead.
Let's go ahead and start it off with question number one. Oh, yes, the dramatic music. The tension fills the air. Which MLB team had the second African-American baseball player?
Ooh.
Forrest.
Forrest.
The, Philadelphia Phillies.
No.
Camlin?
Camlin?
The Dodgers?
No.
It's possible.
Well, but it's still a good guess. Because
thank you, guys. Thank you.
No. No.
Okay, thank you, Christopher.
Sean.
Sean.
New York Yankees?
No.
Damn.
Forrest.
Forrest.
Cleveland.
Cleveland Indians.
Yay!
Yay!
Guardians now.
Question number two.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Guard this.
What? Guard what?
Question number two. Okay. That's what he's guarding against because he doesn't want you guys to get the answer correctly. All right. What year did Tonight, America After Dark premiere on NBC?
Ooh. Tonight. Sean. 2000.
No.
Forrest. 1963.
No, but you are now the closest. Yeah.
Camlin. 68.
No, Forrest is still closest.
What'd you say?
I know. 63.
He said 63.
Your strat.
Sean.
58.
No, but you are now closest, Sean.
Oh, boy. Camlin. Oh, 59.
No, Sean's still closest.
Oh.
Forrest. 55.
No.
Sean. 52.
No.
Cameron. 57.
Yeah. Oh! The number ones are always fun.
I'm really good at them because I let you guys
just swooped in there. Right.
Woo.
Very good.
All right. Question number three. Wrap it up, Fuzzball. All right. What state had the first operational ski tow?
Sean. New York.
No.
A what?
Really?
Can you spell it?
Ski tow.
Ski tow.
You know what a ski toe is?
That's why I asked if you could spell it.
No. S-K-I-T-O-W.
Oh, that's what I thought.
No, it's S-K-I space T-O-W.
Okay. Forrest. Colorado.
No, but that's not a bad guess, since Colorado is known for their high mountains.
Thank you
and stuff,
for the encouragement.
14er and all that stuff. But no.
Was Colorado. The question what state?
Yes. Yeah.
Cameron. California.
No. Nah, it is over on the East Coast.
Mm.
When
oh,
I say
I see.
East Coast, I mean East Coast.
Forest. Vermont.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, there
White
you
Christmas.
Go.
See, we just windled it down.
There we go.
Windled?
Yep.
Whittled it down.
Whittled it down.
Or windled.
You know.
Whichever.
Question four.
Here we go.
What TV show did Elvis make his first ever appearance
Sean.
On? Sean.
Steve Allen Show. Oh, no, it's
no.
not.
No,
that was a
not.
Long pause
no,
of silence there
not.
From our host.
It's not. It was a week before the Steve Allen Show. Shit.
Yeah, his first ever television appearance.
Forrest.
What show was it on?
Ed Sullivan.
No.
Ah. No.
Cameron, you got to guess before Sean.
American Bandstand.
No, Sean, what is it?
Or
do you not know it?
It's a local station. It was a local TV show.
I feel like if he's not going to get it, then you guys aren't going to get it. I mean, I could be wrong. I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. I would think he would have it. I don't know any other.
Yeah. Or like maybe if there's a, do you have a letter? Like
it was a black and white. I know that.
Come on. Give us the first letter.
Was it in the movie?
Just tell us.
The stage show.
The state. Yeah. There you go.
Dorsey Brothers stage show.
Dorsey Brothers. That's what it was. Dorsey Brothers. It was literally a week before Steve Allen.
Steve Allen. Okay.
Yeah, literally.
Okay.
Your memory was a week off.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Thanks for letting me know.
The
You're
most.
Welcome.
Yeah. Question five. All right. Where was the first college daily newspaper published?
Ooh.
Like what college?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cameron. King's College.
No.
Sean. Cambridge.
No.
Forrest. Yale.
That is correct.
Hey!
Yay!
Yeah, the Yale Daily News, I believe is what it was called.
Nice.
Question number six. How many performances did The Wiz run for?
Ooh. Oh, God. How many performances?
Forrest. 100.
No.
Cameron. 300.
No. go all the way.
Sean.
Up.
Oh, okay.
John.
How about maybe 100,000?
Okay, no, that's way too. Bring it back down.
I like to shoot for the moon.
Well, you missed. So.
overshot.
Cameron.
14,000.
No.
Okay.
Forrest?
712.
Nah, you're the closest, though.
Yeah!
Wow.
That would be so cool if that was it.
Sean.
850. No.
Cameron. 775.
No.
Well, the calculator. I'm
Sean.
Sean.
650.
No, it's 1600.
Oh, 1600.
Oh,
1672
okay.
to be exact.
Oh. 1672. Okay.
All right.
The impression it was around
Yay.
700.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought too. So, all right. Moving on.
Okay.
Question number seven. Yep. All right. What team was O.J. Simpson drafted onto?
Forrest. Buffalo Bills.
That is correct.
Wow.
Nice.
Forrest, quick on the draw there.
Boy,
good job, Forrest.
Thank you.
He's kicking our ass today.
Mm-hmm.
Question number eight. I mean, you gotta kick back on this question then, you know? It is illegal for women to be dressed as Santa Claus on the street in which state?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Sean. Mississippi.
No, but it does start with an M.
Oh, so not Texas.
Cameron.
Minnesota. Yes, it is.
Wow. Don't you know?
We don't like our women dressing up like Santa Claus.
We should go change some things.
Mrs. Claus.
Don't you know?
We're going to arrest her and take her in. Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't you know?
Question so unfair.
When was the charity single of We Are the World recorded?
Where?
When?
When?
Forest. 1984.
No.
Sean.
1985.
Yeah. Missed it by that much.
Hey! All right, question number 10. Who was the first teacher to be in space?
Forest. Krista McAuliffe.
That is correct.
Was she really in space?
Because her school's here in Orange County, California, where we broadcast from.
But was she really in space?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Because isn't she the one who died on the show?
Yes.
Yeah. So she was on her way to space.
Well, I'm not going to argue the
inquiry.
The wording.
Inquiry.
We'll check our fact-checking department and check that out.
She was the first first teacher allowed to go in space.
And trained and
right,
went out and
exactly.
went. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, didn't
yeah. was
back.
Prepared.
Yeah.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go, guys. There's the show.
Forrest won that game.
You kicked our ass.
You did really good.
Lucky. They went my way this time.
Yeah, it did. And by the way, We Are the World was actually recorded today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, this date in history.
This date in history. There you go. Girl, you I found it earlier, too. So that's why I knew. All right, guys. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram follows at Your Weekly Dose 1. We're not posting shit right now. We don't know why. But we got to get stuff up because we're really bad at it. But still, please follow us.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Forrest Hartle Theater on Instagram. Have a great week, everyone.
Oh, you can find me on Instagram, Camlyn Jackson, and on TikTok, it's Camlyn Jackson.
Oh, special. It's Camlyn Jackson. I like that. Hey. And if you want to follow me, Sean, on any of my social media, I still am not posting stuff right now, but stuff will be coming out soon, is Sean R. Unplugged. So until then, guys, see you guys next week. Be good to each other. Have fun. Have an awesome weekend. Take care.
We've just begun when suddenly we're through. Goodbye, goodbye, good friends, goodbye. 'Cause now it's time to go. But hey, I say, well, that's okay.
'Cause we'll see you very soon, I know.
Very soon, I know. Goodbye, goodbye, good friends, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And tomorrow just my today. The moon, the bear, and the...
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @YourWeeklyDose1 and Facebook at @YourWeeklyDose. We'll see you next week.